You're tuned to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Lisa Young. On today's program, we highlight two farms in the North Fork Valley that participated in this year's farm tours during Mountain Harvest Festival the last weekend in September. First, we hear from Shannon Ullman, owner of Elevation Herbal Tea near Hotchkiss, where high altitude, sunshine, and water bless mountain-grown herbs and fruit to craft a unique tea. After the break, we'll visit with Steve Schauer, owner of Fields of Glory, just outside of Paonia, Colorado.
I'm Shannon from Elevation Herbal Tea, and we started the business in 2018, and it sort of just started as an herbal tea farm, but then very quickly grew into like an agritourism business as much as an herbal tea business. So we get, this year and last year, we opened up for UPIC. We get lots of guests from all over. People, I guess, have started to really be aware of us from a UPIC perspective for our berries. We're kind of famous for our strawberries, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw them over there. They look pretty good. I was really tempted to reach over and grab one.
Well,
Should I?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, please eat as much as you want. I'm telling all of you. Eat the berries.
Have a good time. Eat the berries.
For sure. And then take some with you too.
So let's talk about where you're located. This is a beautiful area back here. So just tell folks where you're at.
Yeah, Hanson Mesa is just really right up the road from downtown Hotchkiss, less than a mile for sure. We're just, if you go to Bank of Colorado, which is 4th Street, right across from the fairgrounds in Hotchkiss and right up the hill. That's how you find us.
Yeah, and we're sitting here where we're actually able to look out here at the West Elk Mountains.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your elevation, where you're at, and why this is a good place for you to grow what you grow, and then we'll talk about what you're growing out here.
Mm-hmm. So the elevation is pretty similar to Denver. It's not exactly 56 whatever, maybe 5680 or something like that. Probably from a climate perspective and like a location perspective, what really makes us good is that we purchase this property with some really solid water rights. So even our neighbors just up the hill from us, maybe their water rights are shutting down, August pretty regularly, but our water is very strong, and so it goes through the end of the irrigation season, so through October. And this kind of thing, it wouldn't work if we were not able to have our plants have, viable water throughout the whole growing season. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the climate here, I mean, you're in a very special kind of microclimate area here in the North Fork Valley.
You're right.
And it's very unique. Do you have this kind of operation in different farming and agriculture at this kind of altitude? Shannon, as we're out here this morning, maybe just kind of look around. You can't tell me everything that's out here because we'd be here for a long time.
Yeah.
But maybe just highlight what we're kind of looking at for folks. We'll just kind of pan around and you just kind of maybe tell me. I mean, it looks like you're broke out here into three sections. Is that on purpose?
Yes. Each section was undertaken 1 year apart. So when I launched the business, I just had one section. I felt like that would be enough to get me through 1 year, and then I would see what the quantities were like for what I needed. So that's a half acre, and that has, all of our ingredients in it, which is why that's where I do my tours. Then the next section I undertook the following year, and there was a little bit of adjustment there because I realized there were some ingredients that I needed more of and some less of, but not a lot. Then the third year, by the time I got to my third half acre section, that was clear that I needed more things like more lavender, more chamomile, less peppermint, things like that. So those kinds of adjustments happened over the course of me just in the first 3 years, sort of getting a feel for what ratios would be like, what the demands were like in terms of the different blends and the popularity of those and things like that. So just to kind of give you like an audio visual, we're standing next to two rows of raspberries, and people are out here picking and eating and enjoying them. As I work my way down the field, things like tarragon and chamomile and lavender. We have some pretty unique ingredients like hibiscus and anise and also stevia. We grow that plant as an ingredient for our teas, which is also pretty unique. For the most part, I tried to pick plants that would overwinter well in Colorado so I didn't have to replant every year. But things like pineapple sage and anise and stevia were all ones that do not overwinter, so I do have to replant them every year, but they were worth it for me because I think those are ingredients that draw people in and are really unique. Yeah,
your tea is unique too. It's herbs and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that, how maybe it's different from some other teas that people experience.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely knew that I wanted to incorporate aspects of the herbal tea sort of like offering that would be approachable by people that are not necessarily sophisticated tea drinkers. And that means not just adults, but also, frankly, children. I had children of my own, and I even considered really, truly just directing my marketing to parents and children because I wanted to be able to offer things that were healthy, like a healthy beverage option for children. So I looked at different brands and specifically brands that were carrying fruit and was surprised to see that a lot of those brands, the fruit was just a flavoring and not really an official ingredient. And I was kind of like, I think that we could do better than that. So I started looking at ways to process fruit so that I could get it into the teas. And the way that seemed to really rise to the surface is to freeze dry the fruit. So once it's freeze dried, then you can turn it into a powder and it blends well with all of the other ingredients. Plus, the beautiful thing about that is if you think about a dehydrator, when you dehydrate apples, you can smell the apples in the air because the air is passing over that product, and that you smell in the air is no longer in the product. But with a freeze dryer, it's done in a vacuum chamber, it's sealed, and so the flavor stays in the ingredient, in the fruit. That makes it so that the tea actually tastes like a strawberry or a raspberry. So just being able to approach both children and have them have, a tea beverage that was not scary to them. Like, what in the world is echinacea, or something like that? But they know what a strawberry is. And so that was one of the things. And also just for people maybe that they want to, like, shift their eating habits or their drinking habits, but they're really, maybe wary about what all of these ingredients are and they don't know. Again, everybody knows what a strawberry is. Most people have heard of lavender. And when you're combining things like that, it's not such a scary thing. So that's why the fruit, and tried to go for ingredients that people were kind of familiar with.
So you have all of your fruit out here that you use. You have the herbs that you use. And there's a little building over here I'm taking. Is that where you're processing everything and actually making the tea? Is that the location?
Yes. So this business that we have here is super unique. That's probably one of only one or two in the entire country where we do all, not just the growing, but all the blending and the packaging here as well. So we're not shipping ingredients all over the world. And that's just another business. But people sometimes ask, well, why don't you offer tea or like something with cinnamon or cloves? It just doesn't grow well in Colorado. And one of my core values is sustainability. So I wanted to do something that had a minor carbon footprint, and to grow it in the same place where it's blended and packaged is a very unique thing to be able to offer to people who are like savvy customers that are interested in looking for local and sustainable. So yes, we built the commercial kitchen around knowing that we were going to be using that as a tea processing facility. So we bring all of our ingredients in there. They go through a washing step. Then the upper part of the building is a drying loft, takes advantage of Colorado's dry, hot climate, lots of airflow there so that it dries very efficiently. We don't have to add heat to get it to dry. We don't have to dehumidify it to get it to dry. So then we do grinding. We hold those ingredients till we're ready to blend them, and then all of the packaging happens right there. So when you pull out a tea bag, it all happened right here in Hotchkiss, Colorado.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was just down at the Western Culture Creamery.
Yeah.
And same concept.
Yes.
They got the goats on the farm.
Yes.
And they're raising them. They're raising most of what the goats are eating. They're milking the goats right there and they're making the cheese. And it's just like, it's so awesome to see. There's nothing that has to go, come into them.
Exactly.
The only thing that's going out is the product itself.
Yeah.
And so
that,
it's amazing.
Doesn't that make you feel sort of proud to be where you are at right now, that we are sending things out from this valley that are such high quality, which I'm just just very proud of that.
It's so unique. Talking about your product, you have your little store here, but I know that the products go other places.
Yes.
How do you retail? Do you wholesale? How does that happen?
Yeah, so we have lots of different chains where we do selling. So yes, we sell from our store, but then we do, because it's all done in a certified commercial kitchen, that allows us to wholesale it. So retailers either come to me and they say, I've tried your tea and I really want to sell it. That just happened this week. We'll be selling at a new store in Pagosa Springs. So that's really one of the best ways, because that gets the product out very quickly. Then also you can purchase online, and I do ship all over the country. So lots of different ways to find the tea.
Yeah, Shannon, I'm just curious about capacity with what you have now. Are there any plans to expand? Are you pretty much where you're at and happy with what you're doing? Or what do you think? And I mean, as people get, you know, into the teas and they really like them, they may be like, well, we want more. Yes. And we want more. And then, you know, do you expand or do you say, no, we're staying where we're at?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we built each of the three fields that you see now, each of the fields has some space at the end of every field for extra build out. So we can put additional ingredients there if we feel like we want to add something like blackberries or catmint or something like that, that really strikes a chord with customers. So there's built into every field. And then in addition, if you saw, you would see that we have a fenced area that's for deer to keep the wildlife from getting in and eating all of our stuff. That, so we have three half-acre sections that are cultivated right now, and we have build out there for a fourth. So we do have plenty of space just ready and waiting in the wings if we get to a place where the capacity of herbs is coming short. But in addition to just knowing from the herbal tea perspective, is also just acknowledging that not only is this business like pushing tea out of the valley, but I'm learning that people are coming here. They want to be here. And so just actually expanding the U-Pick opportunities has been huge. So like for right now, there's a small space in my furthest field that is fallow because we didn't necessarily need to plant what I used to plant there because we have enough. And that next year will be probably planted as flower bouquets. So people have been coming here for 2 years now to pick berries. Now this year they're coming to pick berries, herbs, and some of the flowers. And next year there will be a lot more flowers available for people to pick and frankly just enjoy, just to come here. So those are sort of like the expansion things that I see in my head as far as like what my business like looks like. It's not just expanding from a like product push out perspective, but it's also expanding in the ways related to agritourism and what we can offer people that come here.
Okay, so I just had a moment of panic for myself, for you.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, what if these people go through and they pick everything you need to make your tea? How do you, what
That's
do you
a good
do?
Question. Yeah, it's a good question. And so far, it's been a beautiful balance. So like for one thing, we do a lot of our harvesting early in the season when the plants are very fresh and new. And as we get on towards the end of the season, like I find very quickly that we get what we need and there's still plenty left. Like if you look down the fields right now, there's a ton of people picking and eating raspberries. We're pretty close to having what we need for raspberries, and yet we're inviting Uproot here to come and glean these berries, and they glean once a week, and they take the produce, the excess produce, and give it to food pantries and stuff like that. So right now, just by nature of plants like continuously sort of refreshing themselves, when we pick a berry, then the plant like is signaled to itself to make that unripe berry ripe, and we'll pick that one, and it just continues. So as we're picking, really it's kind of like plant maintenance. It doesn't really make it like an apple where you pick an apple and you will not get any more. It's not like that with these kinds of plants.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm like, my mind is blown.
You're listening to Local Motion, KVNS Weekly Public Affairs Program. We just heard from Shannon Ullman, owner of Elevation Herbal Tea near Hotchkiss. Coming up, we visit with Steve Schauer, owner of Fields of Glory just outside of Paonia, Colorado, where Steve and his wife Claire turn organic hemp into healing products in the North Fork Valley.
We're Steve and Claire Schauer. We moved here 6 years ago from Reno to convert what was a horse ranch for 25 years. We converted it into a hemp farm to grow CBD because we realized in 2018, the farm bill legalized hemp in all 50 states. And we had known a lot about the benefits of it, but we started off just growing the hemp and drying it and send it off to somebody to use. And then after the first couple of years, the price of just selling biomass tanked. So we said, hey, let's just start our own CBD line.
Tell me how that came about.
Well, when the price dropped and it was no longer profitable to just grow and sell, and really it turns out the farmer makes less than anybody typically on almost any crop because of all the stages that have to contribute to the final product. So we decided, let's just make our own. Then we started researching what other people were making and how did we want to tweak it. Like when we were going to develop our gummies, we said, people would say, well, I like the gummies, but they taste so awful. I hate to take it. So we worked with our formulator. What we do is grow the hemp, and then we take it to the Front Range to an extractor, and he pulls out of the biomass, he pulls the oil out, and then we take that oil to our formulator. She's in like a $500,000 lab. She's a chemist. And she helped us work through what do we want in the balms? What do we want as a gummy? What about for sleep? We have tremendous products for the people that have trouble either falling asleep or staying asleep. So it just developed, and then we figured out the marketing, how to do that. The disadvantage to hemp is you can't claim anything socially. So when we sample our products, and we get tremendous testimonies back. Like you just can't believe how effective hemp is in all manner of illnesses and conditions. But we cannot put that on the website. So we started the farmers markets. And there we can interact with people. A lot of what we do is education. People think, oh, hemp is marijuana. So that's what we re-educate people for. And then we tell them, like, for the sleep products, how that works, what's in it, what you can expect. Tell them you're not going to get groggy in the morning because it's not a narcotic, it's not synthetic, it's just a natural hemp plant.
So you were saying that the reason you got into it was your own personal experience with the product. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I'd say long time ago in a faraway galaxy, pretty invested in THC. So always was a big fan of cannabis, but eventually got out of all that. But we knew about hemp. And then in 2018, when they legalized it, we said, hey, this is something that we'd want to pursue. So Claire and I were in our travel trailer, Estes Park, for a couple weeks hiking. And then we came back through Paonia, and Claire's nephew was growing 1 acre of hemp here. And we got here at night and couldn't see anything, but I could smell that smell. And then in the morning, I walked out in the middle of the field and looked at those plants, and I said, I got to do this. So at that point, I'd had 45 years contracting and thought, well, this would be a great change because when I did the contracting, I would help 1, 2, 3 people with a remodel. So I was affecting maybe 5 families. But with our products and our subscriptions, we're helping hundreds of families every single day. So it's well worth, we decided to go organic because we always believed in that. And you go through a big process of certification. They check all your amendments, which cost twice as much because you're organic. They do inspections. And then once the formulator makes our products, she sends it off to the state labs to verify if we claim there's 25 milligrams in this product, it really is in that product. So we were just big fans of knowing what hemp could do for people and how many people we could help as opposed to me. Claire was a nurse. She was a case manager remotely. So she could help a few people every day get the right care and all that. But it's very rewarding when we do all the work here to make the product, and then the testimonies we get back makes it more than worthwhile to be out in the hot summer 6 hours a day. When you're organic, all you can do is pull weeds. There is no insecticide, pesticide, nothing. So that's a lot of hard, hot work, but we feel great.
Yeah, you do have some weed barrier out there, but it's not everything, right? It doesn't cover everything. How do you irrigate your crop?
Yeah, well, what we had done years past, we would just, since you can't use any insecticide, the plants are 4 feet apart, but the grass would grow up and be as tall and as bushy as the plant. All we could do is just pull it. So for 1,000 plants, that's just a tremendous amount of work. So Claire saw this paper mulch that you put down as a cover, and it completely blocks the weeds. Like, you put the plant there, cut a hole in a slit and slide the paper over, and then we cover the edges so the wind doesn't blow it. But that reduced our labor of pulling weeds.
How is it irrigated?
One thing, when we purchased the land, the most important thing was the water. And here we were on the Paonia Ditch, which was established in the 1890s. It's either the most senior or the second most senior in the whole valley. So what we told the realtor was, we have to be sure that ditch goes all through the season, which we needed up until 2 days ago. And unfortunately, some of the other ditches run dry sooner, but that was our criteria. And so the realtor found this property, and we said, well, let's just buy the land. Well, when you buy the land, it's 40% down because it's risky for the banks, more risky than anything. But for a mortgage, you're like 10% down. So we said, find us some land with the perfect ditch, a very good one, and any kind of a structure, grass shack, we didn't care what it was, as long as it could get a mortgage on it. So we did that, but that Paonia Ditch is on 6 months of the year, and we start our plants April 15th in the greenhouse, and they stay there 6 weeks, and then June 1st, when pretty much the frost is over, we put them out in the field, and then we got to have water. These plants will take like up to a half gallon a day during the hot summer months and when they're really big and bushy and full. But the ditches never run out. So we have a pond. The water goes from the pond to sand filters. The sand filters takes down the size of the particles, gets rid of the silt. We add the amendments through that. And then it goes out to the field through a little thin drip tape with emitters. And you can choose on the emitters how much per hour it drips down and how far apart they are. So that's how we use a fraction of the water compared to flood irrigation. Like an orchard might have flood, or they might have drip too, and sprinklers.
Yeah, that's super important to be able to, you know, conserve the water that you have. I want to circle back to the products. So we had talked about sending it out to the lab to get everything verified, and then you have somebody that actually has to make the product and package and all of that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. After we get the oil extracted from a company on the Front Range, what he does is he takes the raw material and puts 25 pounds at a time in a big vat that's a centrifuge, and then he adds super chilled organic ethanol, puts a lid on it and spins it, and all the oil comes to the outside. He collects that in a jar, and it's like tar. It looks like black tar, so thick. So then we take that to our formulator with the huge lab, and she's the chemist. She will blend it down. Our basic carrier oil is MCT, which is so good for your brain. But she will make the gummies. She'll make the balm. All the daily tincture, all five or six, the pet blend. And then she'll bottle it and put our label on it and ship it to us. And that's what we take to the farmers markets, since we can't advertise online too much. But that's how we meet people, educate, and develop customers.
Do you have a store on site where you sell, or it's over? Right. It's online?
Well, people inquire about the farm, and they're always welcome to come here and buy direct from us. But typically, they'll go online and order through the website.
And tell me about the farmer's market. Are you doing mostly local, or how far out do you actually go for that?
Yeah, we have been doing, this season, we did three farmer's markets each week. We went to Glenwood Springs, which is about 2 hours, and you drive on the 133 out there. Gorgeous drive. So it's 2 hours there. We did Carbondale, which is an hour and a quarter, and then we did Ridgeway, which is 2 hours south. That's our main. We did those three, and then every once in a while, when they'd let us, we would do Palisade, and that's the ultimate market for us. So, and then we've been signed up on festivals all around, like in Carbondale, Potato Day, and Crawford, their big day with the parade. We do about 10 of those each season, too, on a Saturday, and Palisade is a Sunday. So that's how we contact people, since we're not online. We get a little bit of curiosity and an occasional order, but it's meeting people, educating them, a relationship, and then hopefully a subscription.
Tell me a little bit about the name.
Organic. We started off, first we started with Delta Family Farms as a name, because our daughters have a Delta Family Farm in Memphis. And then at some point we switched over and said, when we walk out in the field, we see God's glory in the plant and in the field, in these mountains, the stream that runs through our property. So in order to give a little credit to him, and he's the designer of the hemp plant, and we believe that God put just about everything you need in the earth to heal you. So we came up with the Fields of Glory as a way to honor him and the glory that we see as we're farming and the benefit that people receive.
Yeah, people are getting healing and benefit and getting, you know, helping them. And it sounds like that's really your passion. And I love that. Tell me a little bit about agritourism. What do you have, you know, that's kind of beyond the actual growing of the hemp? Are you doing anything like farm tours? I know you're doing you did today's Mountain Harvest Festival tours, but beyond that, right. Do you do other tours or other agritourism?
Like you say, the people we meet are curious about the farm and curious how it's grown. So we always offer an invitation for them to come anywhere during that 6 month period. They can see the little starts in the greenhouse. They can see the baby plants just go into the field June 1st, all the way through the vegetative state. And then during this farm tour, we have You Pick Hemp, where they come and they can cut off the big fat cola on the top. And a lot of people will take that, put it on the dining room table, just like as a conversation piece. People come in and go, oh, what's this? Or you can dry it and make tea out of it. And the hemp and chamomile makes a fantastic nighttime tea. Puts people right to sleep. Other thing we do is we're a harvest host. There's an organization called Harvest Host. And so we cleared a spot down at the river. It's a nice area with a picnic table. And people will sign up to spend the night, maybe two nights, but people are just excited to be down at the river. It's pitch black, except there's a big moon. The water's running right by you. We have elk, deer, foxes, skunks, raccoons. There's a blue heron that lives there, all the ducks and the geese. So it's just a nice place, secluded, quiet, dark, and they'll spend a night or two.
You've been listening to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Lisa Young. Special thanks to Shannon Ullman of Elevation Herbal Tea and Steve Schauer of Fields of Glory. For more on the four farms we visited during this year's Mountain Harvest Festival, visit kvnf.org and look for Local Motion.